Am I on, Josh? I am. Good morning. You guys are going to get it today. I got my white shirt on and I'm serious. I think some of you didn't recognize me this morning. You introduced yourselves to me when I came in. But anyway, I thought I'd leave the Carhartts hang this morning and put on a white shirt. You know what? It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. And to bring the word to you here this morning. It's a pleasure. And you know what? Let's just pray before we start. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have to read it whenever we want. And we can study it and we can bring it to church and share it and hear from you. Thank you for it, Lord. Help me, God, where I am so limited this morning, and bless us as we hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you about this morning, about this book, about the Word of God. Last time I was here, I just want to remind you of some of the benefits and some of the great, great riches in this book. Last time I was here, I spoke about the armor of God, and I touched on just a little bit on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Bible, and I want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about this book this morning and just what it offers to us. I'm not up here this morning because I can bring you great, deep thoughts, you know, of all kinds, and I'm no scholar by any means. But maybe I can just encourage you a little bit this morning and just remind you of some of the things that are in this book and just encourage you to be in it. When I sit down and do my devotions in the morning, I just very simply sit down and read the Bible. I have some commentaries with me where I don't quite understand. Sometimes I'll stop and I'll do some Googling, or I have my commentaries or different versions of the Bible that I can look into to see where I need to tweak my thinking, where I can get a little more insight or tweak my thinking, or maybe I just stay along the lines of where I was. But this morning, right or wrong, I'm not coming to you with all kinds of times and dates, historical events, and fulfilled prophecy to prove the Bible. I simply believe the Word of God. I just believe this book. I feel a little bit like the little girl that got on the bus with the Bible under her arm. And a fella said to her, he said, "Little girl, is that a Bible?" She said, "Yep." He said, "Do you believe this book?" "Yeah," she said, "I believe it all." Well, he said, "If you can prove that book to me," he said, "I'll give you the shiny red apple." She looked up at him and said, "Mister, if you can prove that it isn't true, I'll give you a whole box of them," she said. And that's kind of where I'm at this morning. I just believe this book. And this book has proved itself to me over the years. I simply believe it. And I have no idea where I would be. I don't know what I would believe. I don't even know where I would start if I didn't have the Word of God. What would you do? What would you turn to if you didn't have this? Where would you even begin? I wonder what your favorite book is in your home. What's your favorite book? What book do you read the most? What do you spend the most time in? What's this book worth to you? I wonder if they slowly started taking your possessions away from you, or my possessions away from me, and they could take them from you in the order that you chose, how long would it be before you cashed in on the Word of God? How long would it take? Would it be for me when they hooked up to my boat and took my fishing pole? Oh, no. Wait a minute. Take the word of God. What would it be for you? In all seriousness. Ladies, maybe, I don't know, maybe your sewing room. Guys, your golf clubs. Your house, your new truck, your cell phone, if it didn't have the Bible on it. Ooh, that was smart a little, wouldn't it? No, hey, I want my phone. You take my Bible. What would be the last thing you hung on to? This is a far cry from the example I just gave, but you know, last winter, Lori's mother passed away. And we flew back to the States, and I fired some stuff into a duffel bag and a few things I want to take along, my clothes and stuff. And whenever I go away overnight, I always take my Bible with me. Whether I read it or not, it comes with me. And as I was packing my bag, I looked over at Lori. I said, you know what? I said, I'm leaving my Bible at home. I'm not taking it. So if they lose my luggage, they can have my clothes, they can have all that stuff, but they're not getting my Bible. I'm leaving that at home because it's dear to me. I got stuff marked all over in here. It's not like I couldn't get another one in this case. I could easily get another one. But it's dear to me. And I think it's important that we stress the value of God's Word, that we encourage each other to stay in it, because our world is out to twist our minds. They're out to just, oh, it's such a mess out there, isn't it? They're out to twist us with everything you can imagine and everything you can't even imagine. Who comes up with this stuff? I don't know. I would be lost without this book. And like I say, it's not because I'm some scholar or I need to be in this book. I have an older brother who is a pastor, and him and I disagree on a few things. But that's okay. As I was getting started in my walk with the Lord, he gave me some of the best advice that I'd ever gotten. And I never forgot it. I was just getting started in the Bible. We were talking about it, and I said, you know what? I'm having a hard time understanding this book. He said, that's okay. He said, that's okay. He said, you just stay in there. You just keep reading. He said, you'll understand it better as time goes on. He said, just keep reading. You know, I never forgot that. And I've never quit reading the Bible. I still have a hard time understanding a lot of things in here. But on the other hand, I've found this book to be so very rich. Very, very rich. And like Corrie Ten Boom said, this book is just bursting with good news, she says. And I want to encourage you young couples here. You know, young people, young couples, get started in the Word early. If you're not in it, get started in it. The sooner the better. Make it a habit that you're in it every day. Just make it one of those things like getting up and eating breakfast, that this is just what you do. You owe it to your kids. I owe it to my kids. They need to see it into me that my life revolves around this book and that I believe it. We owe it to them. And they're the next ones coming up. Boy, they have to know it. This summer, I spent a little bit of time in Proverbs. And boy, I enjoy this book a lot. It just blessed me so much as I went through it. And I read it again and spent a little time in it. And you know what I find is that this book pleads with you. This book pleads with you to get wisdom. It cries out for you to get wisdom. It cries out for you to make godly choices. What is wisdom? I'll give you my definition. You might disagree. I don't know. But you know, I've always had a bit of a time as I read through Proverbs. There's knowledge, there's understanding, and there's wisdom that it talks a lot about. And this is kind of what I've come up with. As I understand it, knowledge is the accumulation of facts, bringing facts together. Understanding is realizing how and why things work together, how and why these facts work together the way they do. Understanding that. And wisdom, I would say, is bringing knowledge and understanding together with a right godly conclusion. For example, you can have great knowledge on all the components of the universe. You can have the understanding and be able to explain properly how they all work together, but come up with the wrong conclusion and say they started with a big bang. That's the wrong answer. You can be the smartest person in the world and still be a fool. Psalms 14:1 says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's pretty strong language today. You don't just go around firing that kind of stuff off. But the Bible does. It don't care. It tells you how it is. You can come up with the same facts and understanding that the first guy came up with. But the wisdom from this book will tell you in Genesis 1:1 that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The same facts, same understanding, but they will bring you to a godly conclusion. Job 28, verse 28 says that the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil, that is understanding. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2, if you have a Bible, verses 1 to 6. We're going to read verses 1 to 6. Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you accept my words, and if you store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and listen, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. We need to be asking God for wisdom. Look at verse 6. It says the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Ask God for wisdom. James 1 verse 5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. He gives generously. But look back at verse 4 and 5 in Proverbs. It says, if you look for it as for silver and you search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The Bible says to search for wisdom as you would search for silver. Guys, silver it's not going to just fall out in front of you for you to go and collect and pick up. It's not going to happen. It has to be dug out. You have to dig for it. Seriously, I read this about silver. It says silver naturally occurs in the earth's crust, but it is rarely found in pure form or as loose metallic nuggets in the dirt. Rarely found in pure form or as loose metallic nuggets in the dirt. It must be dug up from the hard rock as silver ore and heavily refined through industrial process. It says, overall, obtaining silver is a highly difficult, energy-intensive process. You want wisdom? I do. Do you want it? God's word says we're going to have to search for it. We're going to have to ask for it. In other words, keep praying and just keep reading. Wisdom is invaluable, and it will always give you the truth. It will help you make godly choices and come to godly conclusions. That's why it's important they're in God's Word, to help us make wise, godly choices, and because we're so forgetful, aren't we? We are so forgetful, and it encourages us, and it reminds us how to live godly lives, and it reminds us of the consequences if we don't. There's consequences for this. The wisdom in this book cries out, and it pleads with us to choose her. It pleads with us to choose her. Turn with me to Proverbs 8, a couple of pages over. Proverbs 8, verses 1 to 9. Starting at verse 1, it says, "Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Inside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance she cries aloud, 'To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just, and none of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right, and they are upright to those who have found knowledge.'" Look at how desperately wisdom tries to get our attention. It's to get us to hear her. It says, at the highest point where the paths come together, beside the gate that lead into the city, at the entrance where all people have to funnel through, it pleads with all mankind to listen to her because it offers prudence and what is right and what is true. Let's keep reading. Verse 10 down to 21. "Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. Now listen to this. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance and evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine, and I have insight. I have power. By me kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me princes govern and nobles, all who rule on earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity, and my fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me, making their treasuries full." Wow. Look at the value that this book puts on getting wisdom. In verse 10 it says, just check this out. Verse 10 it says, "Choose my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies," it says, "and nothing you desire can compare with her." Nothing you desire can compare with her. And she, wisdom, goes on to say, she hates pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech, and anything ungodly. It says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me will find me." And where are you going to seek for wisdom? Where are you going to find it? Right here. That's it. The world isn't going to give it to you. Not a bit. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ Jesus." Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4 and read about some of the benefits of living by wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, 4 to 9, I should say, sorry. 5 to 9. "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom," and listen to this, "she will protect you." Listen to this. "Love her, and she will watch over you." The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. I always get a kick out of how it says that. The beginning of the wisdom is this: get wisdom. "Though it cost all that you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and what? She will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown." Verse 5 says, "Get wisdom, get understanding." It says that she will protect you, she will watch over you, She will exalt you. She will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Oh, the benefits. The benefits of this book. Does that mean life's going to run completely smoothly now? Nope, doesn't. There's a lot of you here that know that. And there's people that I talk to quite often that don't understand why they're going through what they're going through. And I can't tell them. I don't know. But I can encourage them. Stay in the Word. You just stay in the Word. Living by this book is only going to make your life better. Because you're genuine and you're not covering up and you're not hiding sin in your life. I've tried both sides of this life. And this is better by far. From what I've experienced, there is no comparison. You know, it's better when we live by this book because we're genuine. We're not covering up and hiding stuff. Proverbs 28:1 says it like this, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous, it says, are as bold as a lion. You know, you can probably think of things that you've done. I can. I know this by experience. I'm a sinner saved by grace. You know, if you can remember things that you might have said to somebody, things you might have done, places you might have been dishonest or dabbled in sin, or maybe you've just let yourself go. You know what? You can't take a bold stand. It makes you want to hide. It makes you want to cower, doesn't it? You live looking over your shoulder and you're just wondering who might possibly know, who might have heard, who might have seen. But if you're right with God and you're living in wisdom because you're staying in the Word of God, the Bible says, the righteous will not cower because they're bold as a lion. I like that description that it gives. You know, if you really want to know who you are, and if you want to know what your motives are, this book will be happy to show you. I have found that. It will show you who you really are when you're in this book, if you want to know. If you don't want to know, don't read it. Hebrews 4:12 says like this, it says, for the word of God is quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and marrow, of joints and marrow. And he says this, it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. And it really, really is. It can slice your thoughts and your intentions and your motives very, very thin. It knows and discern them and point them out to you. So if you don't want to be convicted of sin, if you don't want to improve your life, you might not want to read this book. Because that's its full intent, to make you more like Jesus. And it'll help you make godly choices. The Word of God is many things. In Hebrews, it's referred to as a double-edged sword. But the book of James refers to it as a mirror. Turn with me to James 1. James chapter 1. We're going to read, I think, verses 22 to 25. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law and that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. They will be blessed in what they do. You know, James says, don't just read the book. Do what it says. And he refers to it as a mirror. Don't go to a mirror, you know, and see yourself and see that you wake up in the morning, your hair is all over the place if you have hair. And and see a smudge down your face or your makeup's all over the creation, you know, and forget about it and forget what you look like. He says, same with the Bible. He says, don't just read it and end up letting yourself off the hook and deceiving yourselves. He says, where it shows you're wrong and you have sin, he says, deal with it. Clean yourself up. Read it intently and change. Do what it says. There are some key words in this passage. I'm reading from the NIV, and there's some key words there. In verse 25, he says to look intently into the word. Don't just half-heartedly read this book. You know, I do this sometimes. I catch myself doing this. I'm actually reading the words, but I'm not retaining anything. I'm reading, but my mind's gone. I'm fishing or whatever I'm doing. You know, that's not good. And it says, don't do that. It says, look intently into the word. Give it your full attention, he says. And he says, continue in it. Continue in it so that you don't forget. Because if you're like me, you forget so fast. You can read something so good, you know, and forget by lunchtime. You know, we need to stay in it. We need to stay in it. And that's what James is saying here. He says, continue it in it so you don't forget. And I would say, just keep reading. Memorize it. Meditate on it. And he says, those that do so will be blessed in what they do. And you know what? I'm in God's word most every day. Most every day. But I'm not in it near enough. I'll think nothing of sitting down watching a 3-hour hockey game. Blink an eye. And if it goes into overtime, all the better. Get another cup of coffee and kick back and watch another 2 hours if that's what it takes. You know? Do I spend that much time in the Word? Nah, no. That's backwards, isn't it? Look at the value it puts on this book. Look at the value of that we just read about. Nothing you can think of can compare with it. I need to be in it more. But on the other hand, I'm still in it. I've never quit reading it. And I believe I have made this book my bottom line. My life revolves around this book. And I hope yours does too. And you know what? Where I'm not in line with this book, it's not because this book is wrong. There's something wrong with this guy. And I need to stay in here and change my thinking according to this book. Amen? It's something wrong with me. And I can testify to the fact of what James says in verse 25. He says, those who do these things, who are in it and who do it will be blessed in what they do. I can testify to that, that's true. I can testify to the fact that God has undeservedly blessed my life richly. I can really say that. I have no idea where I would be today. I have no idea had I not gotten saved and kept reading. See, you can get saved, but if you don't stay reading, you can be all over the creation, right? You need to get saved and stay in the book. It's essential for me, because I am prone to wander. I got to be in the book. Last fall, our dugout was pretty low, and I'd been meaning to do this, so I pumped the rest of the water out. And Lori and I hired a hoe, and a guy come over, and Steve Hartnell come over and cleaned it all out and took the cattails out and the willows and all that stuff. And this spring, the Lord supplied all that snow, and it just ran over. It was full and running over. And so I mowed some grass there in front of the dugout. I like to sit by the water, pretend it's a lake, you know. And I put a bench there that I had built, and sometimes I just go on my way from the shop to the house or in the evenings, I'll just sit down there for a few minutes. Be still and know that I am God. And you know what? Sometimes I just sit there and listen to the robins and hear the frogs. And one day I was sitting there one evening and Lori came out and sat beside me. And sometimes, in a minute like that, I can't help myself, but just remember the blessings God has poured out on my life. Just how good he's been to me. Because I know some of the places where I've been, and I just, sometimes I like to think about where I might be if I hadn't gotten saved. I don't know. It just takes me all over the place where I could be. But I can testify to the goodness of God because I've stayed in this book. Haven't done a lot of things wrong, but it keeps me together. It keeps me together. Stay in the Word. Where was I? Somewhere. I got to find my spot. My life is far from a bed of roses. That's not what I'm saying. Sometimes I get discouraged. And many times I fall short and even sin, you know, just fall into sin. But you know what? This book always brings me back. As long as I'm faithful with coming back to this book, it always wants to keep me together. It always wants to pull me together, this book. It reminds me how to do things. It reminds me of the consequences if I don't. It reminds me that Jesus will forgive me of all unrighteousness. And it reminds me that he still loves me. That's a simple concept, but you know what? We can lose sight of that. And if we forget that Jesus still loves us, oh boy, we're in trouble. But this book tells you, it shows you that Jesus loves you. He gave it all. He gave it all. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 11, he says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Store up scripture in your heart. Memorize it, if you will. Memorize it in your heart so that you can wield it at the enemy like a sword, so that you can defend yourself on the spot. Remember the old Western days? They would pull a pistol, remember, on the movies? We need to have scripture ready so that we can do that in a hot spot. And you know what? You're not going to just get into a duo with Satan at high noon. He's going to start nailing you from the time you wake up till you go to sleep. That's why it's so important to have this book in your heart. How silly a soldier would look out on the battlefield with nothing to fight with, hey? How ridiculous would that be? In Corinthians, there was a fellow who fell into sin, and the church had to deal with him. And he was later repentant, and Paul said, "You know what, guys?" He said, "Forgive this guy. We need to forgive this guy," he said. "Lest Satan get an advantage over us because of the sin of unforgiveness," he said. You can bet on it. Satan is just looking. He's looking for any advantage he can get. Even a toehold. We've probably all tried climbing up on something. Remember that? You're trying to climb up and you're kicking and struggling to get up there. And if you can just get the end of your big toe on just a little something, it can put you over. That's all you need. And you know what? That's what Satan's looking for. If he can just get a start. I know this. You know how I know this? I know this. And I'm sure you've experienced it too. So when he comes along and he tries to get you down and discourage you, you quote Psalm 42:11. Why, you encourage yourself with it. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Encourage yourself with scripture. Fight back. quote Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. When he tries to stop you with fear, to make you back off, quote Isaiah 12, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Use Scripture. Use Scripture. When you start feeling unforgiven, like Jesus maybe hasn't totally forgiven you, or like you've blown it, maybe God's angry at you, quote 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from how many?
All.
He's to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When he comes to you through people and says there's different ways to heaven, you're too staunch, you're too intolerant, and that there's different ways to heaven, you're not the only one that's right. Quote John 14, 6, 2. Tell them what Jesus said. I am the way. I am the way. I'm the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus said. There is no other name under heaven whereby a man might be saved. Guys, we need to be a step ahead of Satan all the time. Be a step ahead of him all the time, because he's just looking for that toehold. And if he can get that, he's got leverage. Then he's got leverage. In John chapter 17, Jesus is praying to the Father for his disciples. And he says in verse 17, he says, sanctify them by your truth, for your word is truth, he says. You want to be sanctified? In other words, do you want to be purified? You want to be made holy? Do you want to be set apart? I do. Then stay in the word. Then stay in the word. Jesus said, thy word is truth. It won't lie to you. Guys, this book, if it's not your bottom line, if it's not the bottom line in your life, you will fall for anything. I go back to Proverbs chapter 4. This book is bursting with good news and with wisdom. It says, do not forsake wisdom. She will protect you. Love her and she'll watch over you. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will give you She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Proverbs 8:21 says, she says, I will bestow a rich inheritance on those who love me, making their treasuries full. And don't forget the value of this book. Remember what Proverbs 8, verse 10 says. It says, choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you can desire can compare with her. Nothing you can desire can compare with her. This book is invaluable, is it not? It's invaluable. And remember to ask for wisdom and search for it as for silver. Search for it as for hidden treasure. If you think you're too busy to be in the Word of God, you either need to slow down or Satan's lying to you. Because Proverbs 4:7 says, though it cost all that you have, though it cost you everything you have, get understanding, he says. My being in God's word is not optional. I have to be in it. I have to be in it to some extent. I have to be about as faithful as getting up and eating breakfast. Maybe more faithful. It just has to be something I do. And lately, I've been tested in that. I just started recently working in Alberta, in Savannah. And in order for me to get up in the morning and to spend 45 minutes to an hour with the Lord, by the time I've gotten myself ready, I've already lost an hour. I have an hour's drive. And if I want to spend a bit of time in here, I have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, BC time, if I want a little time with the Lord. And I've been doing that. And I pray that I keep doing that. If it costs you everything you have, right? Stay in the Word of God. And you know what? The reason I do that is because I'm so good. And I have everything together. Otherwise, you can't do that. See? On the contrary, the reason I do that is because I am not so good. And my life isn't all together. But you know what? When I do that, this wants to keep me together. This wants to keep my life together. That's why I have to be in the Word of God. Boy, I encourage you, especially you young folks, be in it, be in the Word of God. I know it's not going to happen in the evening when I get home. People need stuff done. I need to do stuff. Distractions come up. I have to do it first thing. That's just what works for me. I want to leave you with one question today. In Matthew 6, verse 21, Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And I ask you this morning, where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Think about that. What am I hanging on to more than the Word of God? What's more important to me than the Word of God? It's a question for myself as well. It's a decision I have to make before I go to bed. What time is my alarm going to get set? How valuable is this book to me? Let's go home and examine ourselves. Examine ourselves. Let's make this book our treasure, because it's the only thing that's going to last for eternity. That's it. This is the only thing that's going to last. Proverbs 23, verse 5 says, it says, "Cast but a glance at riches, and they're gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle." They're just gone that fast. 1 Peter 3:10 says, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, and the earth also." And he says, "And the works that are therein will be burned up." The works that are therein will be burned up. What are we working for again? It's all going to burn. God's word is the only thing that's going to last forever. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 35, he said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but," he said, "my word will never pass away." This is invaluable, guys. It'll present you with a glorious crown. Spend time with the Lord. And remember, keep asking for wisdom. And just keep reading. Keep reading. That's all I have today. Do you guys have a song? Come on up there. Thank you, guys. God bless.